You're listening to Ask Your Editor, a writing podcast for writers. Join your hosts, Abby Rotstein, writer, mental health advocate, and stand-up comic, and Amanda Edens, fiction editor for self-publishing writers, to navigate the writer's life and the writing process. You're listening to Ask Your Editor, a writing podcast for writers.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Ask Your Editor. Amanda and I are back at it. And today we have a topic that's really interesting to me and to Amanda as well. And we're going to talk a lot about how you can draw from your life, or can you draw from your life to write your stories? So I am currently at work on a novel. I say that a lot. One day I'm going to say I am currently finished with my novel, but right now I'm at work at it, and the characters are very familiar to me because they are, some of them are, let's just say, really close to people who are in my life. So for example, I have a main character who has OCD, and strangely enough, I do too. So yes, she's similar to me. So do you have any thoughts on this, Amanda, first too?
Well, I guess let's start with the big question. Can you draw from real life? Like, is Abby breaking a major cardinal rule here? And especially when we consider the old adage that is, you know, hotly debated, the advice to writers that goes, write what you know.
Right, right. And I mean, that's what I'm doing. So I have also, not just in my fiction, but I write nonfiction as well. And so of course that draws from my life, and maybe that's a little bit different, but I feel like I tread a fine line when I'm writing about, a lot of the time it's mostly about my family and our adventures or misadventures, and some of those are going to come out in the novel. I can also I can have somewhat of a cover, like, well, that's just fiction, right? That's fiction. But at the same time, some of it isn't. And I'll just say, in my life, I have a very supportive group of people, not just family, but friends. And I have drawn from my life in my comedy and in my writing. And I have actually gone to them and said, is this all right? Is this okay? And I'll say that sometimes my mom has come to my stand-up, and I've told jokes about the family, and afterwards she'll say something like, we sound so bad. But it's funny, so it's okay. So I guess that's the question of, do you need consent?
See, it is a fine line. And I want to talk a little bit about TV for a second, because it's very much the same thing. Like, that screen that flashes, you know, all characters are fictitious and not based on representations of real people. Any similarities are purely coincidental, blah, blah, blah. And you especially see that prominently on TV shows that are either A, intending to be really offensive, like South Park,
right,
or B, I'm thinking of Law and Order, that tackles a really sensitive subject matter, like very sensitive subject matter. So, you know, they make that banner, like, go across the screen, as kind of a disclaimer, as protection. But one must wonder, like, where did they get their ideas from? How similar to real events is this episode? Is this something that happened or could have happened based on a similar scenario? You know, one has to wonder. And
I mean, oftentimes you'll see episodes like Law and Order, and you'll say, I just saw that in the news. So you know that they've probably drawn from that.
Sure. And I think that human beings as creatures, like, we are composed of our experiences. Our experiences make us who we are. We're, you know, like, from the movie Shrek, like we're onions, layer after layer after layer of things that have colored us and put us on the paths that we're on and the choices that we've made and the things that have happened to us or the things that have been done to us all create who we are. And so writing is a deeply personal endeavor. And, you know, I have to think that every time one puts pen to paper, they are putting themselves in it. So it gets muddy very fast.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you can't, as much as I've tried, you cannot run away from yourself. So.
And, you know, going back to the original question that Abby posed, is consent necessary? And I think the answer to that is not very clear cut, particularly because, well, one method is to take, I guess, a base of, you know, this is what happened and I want to draw from this in my fiction, but then change things and move things around so that it's not the same. And that, you know, do you really need consent from someone because they inspired you or not? And that goes to, you know, thinking about plagiarism, like in music, like someone can be right. inspired by Prince or the Rolling Stones without being derivative. But where is that line drawn? And that's, you know, that's always a very hot button topic.
And I think going back to consent, I think that if we constantly asked for it, we'd never get any writing done. I just so happen to have some people in my life who I can say, hey, I'm going to be telling this joke, or I'm going to be writing this essay about us or this story. And they've given me feedback, but I can say that throughout the writing of this novel, but I think it's about 150 years now that I've been writing it, I have not asked for consent, not even once.
So how do you draw the line between inspiration and derivativeness, if that's a word?
I'm going with it. We can make up words here too. That's one of the rules.
Yay.
I feel like part of my barometer is, how am I feeling about this? Am I feeling a little queasy about this? Am I feeling a little nervous about it? Do I want to go there? And when that happens, that's when I have to consider what I'm writing about. And sometimes I do feel bad, but I feel like the story needs that information. And sure, I can change it. I mean, what I'm writing now, I say that it draws from my life, but it's really 95% of the events are fiction or fictionalized. And I feel like the feelings of the characters or their motivations are similar to the motivations that of some of the people in my life. But that doesn't mean that the events are, you know, this is exactly what happened. And part of me doesn't want to draw too much from real life, because I'm not a big fan of the sort of psychological reading of fiction, you know, when a reader finally gets it, and that's out of my hands, obviously. But, you know, I don't want somebody saying, well, oh, did this really happen? And is that why she's like she is? I can answer that definitively. Yes, it's why I am who I am.
So with that being said, do you think, let me back up. I really like the idea of the writer, I'm putting it in quotes, the writer being this enigma that people have to tiptoe around. Otherwise, they'll wind up in their book. I saw a meme a few weeks back that said, watch how you treat me, I'm a writer.
Yep, and I love that too. And people in my life, I have had incidents where someone said, hey, I said that. And I kind of look sheepishly at them, like, yeah. It's very strange. I think people do start to kind of tiptoe around you, but like, she might put, oh, that's going in your stand-up. Oh, that is something that I hear so often. Oh, that's going in your stand-up. And then there's kind of a like they roll their eyes, and sometimes it's true.
Yes, but comedian is another one of those that you gotta tiptoe around to.
Right. Don't poke the bear, I guess. I don't know. That's definitely an interesting kind of question. And I know I've dealt with it in my life too. I don't know how you deal with that. I mean, you said you like that kind of mystery. So have you experienced incidents like this too?
I haven't. And I guess it's an important thing to say here that I am a creative nonfiction writer. Creative nonfiction is my favorite. And, you know, I've published things that are directly related to my life. But I don't know, maybe like it hasn't really gotten that much of a wide readership that it matters. Everyone that I know was pretty supportive of me writing the things because they were more focused on me rather than other people. The exception actually, and I do want to tell this story because it is very related to what we're talking about. In 2012, my husband and I experienced a very traumatic event, family event, and that's his family and not mine. And in the years that followed, I actually used writing as a device for catharsis. I was writing very deeply about the experiences that happened and the feelings that I had as I processed it and, you know, basically turning a tragedy into something beautiful. But I have not published this piece of work. It is probably my best piece of work to date with regard to the prose, with regard to basically everything about it. It's this shiny object that I'm not really comfortable with showing to the world. And not because of me, but because I feel that I would be exploiting or otherwise taking advantage of a family's tragedy. Now, you can make the argument, oh, I'm part of the family, but it was just a very deeply personal event that if I capitalized on it as a writer, it was definitely triggering my ethics alarm. And like you said, how do I feel about it? Well, writing it was necessary, but in terms of what happens after, I think, you know, it's crossing the line into exploitation. And maybe you have a different thought about that, Abby, I'm not sure. But to date, this piece of work remains unpublished. In fact, the rough draft is at a friend's house because she loves it so, she loves the work so much. I gave it to her to read, you know, from one friend to another. And she loves the work so much that she didn't give it back. So I guess it's kind of like published in that someone owns it. That's not me, but it's not released to the world.
I think that you make a really good point with saying there's something you have to consider. One is the writing necessary? And you said absolutely yes. Then you said, and what comes after? And that's probably the pivotal question that you have to ask yourself as a writer. What comes after and is it necessary? So generally speaking, we think what comes after is publishing it. And you have to ask yourself the question, is it necessary for this to go out in the world? And I think that's a very personal question. You know, we can't answer, should XYZ go out in the world? We can only answer our own questions about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. You know, and does it make me feel good? No. Like, oh, my best work is going to be the secret forever. But, you know, that's the price that I have to pay to both create something and be okay with myself as a good person.
Right.
And, you know, Abby, you mentioned consent, like, you know, could I, you know, go to them and get consent? Sure, I could, but it's not something that I want to do. Like, I created it for me. Like, it's over, it's done. But yeah, and actually, this kind of sort of leads, this what comes after topic sort of leads to something that I did want to bring up about this is a lot of writers, I've seen in writers groups and such say, well, I want to write about my ex-boyfriend and how bad of a person he is. You know, is this something that I have to get a lawyer for? You know, whatever. And the topic of slander is actually really important, I think.
Yes.
The things that happen to us, are they really ours? And are they really ours to, I guess I'm going to keep using this word, exploit? And that, you know, does have some legal implications for a number of reasons. And one being slander is that a writer could get in trouble for slander if their work brings damage to another person's reputation. And that's why, you know, creative nonfiction or fiction that's tightly based on real life, specifically to like drag a person, is probably not a good idea.
Yeah. And just to sort of piggyback on that a little, I, you know, obviously Amanda and I are not lawyers. So, but unless you've like passed the bar in Nevada, and I don't know about it, but
my next feat.
Okay. All right. But as of right now, we're not, but you know, we do want to bring that topic up because it's something to be slander is something to be mindful of as a writer.
You know, it's an instance in which your experience is not entirely your own.
Right.
You know, you can't just, you know, go and damage someone's reputation. Now, the actual interpretation of damage someone's reputation, that is actually something that, you know, would be determined by the court and not by, you know, you as the writer or them as an individual. But in terms of like incorporating a character that's similar to someone else in your story and maybe like portraying them in a negative or comical light, that is where the gray area is, because again, it's really up to the court, the powers that be, to determine whether or not that is actually damaging to someone's reputation.
And perhaps a topic for another day, but what is your motivation as a writer? Is writing as revenge really what you want to do?
Writing as revenge. I love that phrase. Wow.
I personally, I haven't done that personally. Most of my stuff is self-deprecating. So if I can commit slander against myself, it's maybe what's happening. I'll get a little too meta. I don't know.
You're exploiting yourself.
So have we left anything out of this topic today?
I guess I just have one tidbit about the slander angle. Okay. Is, you know, if no one could write something bad about someone else, then the field of journalism wouldn't exist. But, you know, again, those laws are complicated, and I am not yet a lawyer.
Right. Not today. Maybe tomorrow. I don't know how close you are.
I haven't started yet.
So everyone knows Amanda is capable of everything. I just want you to know in my time knowing her.
Thank you, Abby. I do have no interest in becoming a lawyer.
You do have, yeah, so you do have the ability. You do, I'm confident. But no interest?
No interest, no.
Okay, neither do I. Not a bit.
Has your fiction or has your creative nonfiction ever made anyone cry?
Mom, are you listening?
Hello, Mom. It's me.
Hi.
Abby.
I write and speak and perform about mental illness, my mental illness, quite a bit. And my mom has read some of my work that's concerning that, and she has seen me on panels and seen me make jokes. And I can say that my jokes have not made her cry. They've at least landed. But if they do make her cry, then I know they're really bad. But she had, I have made my mom cry on a number of occasions with my writing about my mental illness, about OCD, about depression. And I think that that mostly comes from the fact that she's my mom and she cares about me and she wants me to be okay. So when she reads this stuff, she feels badly, and you know, she's Mama Bear and doesn't want her kids to be, you know, hurting. And I try to tell her that I'm able to write those things now because I have enough distance from the bad stuff that I'm able to actually write coherently about them. So in my particular case, I absolutely need the distance in order to write something based on my life.
I'm actually gonna butcher a William Wordsworth quote. William Wordsworth was a romantic poet, and he said, of course, the main writing at that time was poetry, so not really fiction. He said, poetry or writing is, you know what? I don't want to butcher this quote.
Beauty of the internet.
Yeah, hold on, folks.
I'm going to slander Amanda right now.
Do it. It's funny. Oh my gosh. My romantic lit teacher, if she ever listens, she's going to be really disappointed that I forgot this quote. Okay. Poetry is the spontaneous overflow of powerful feelings. It takes its origin from emotion recollected in tranquility. And what Wordsworth is trying to say there is that the emotion at the time that something happens is too powerful, but the best writing is recollecting that emotion, but in a tranquil, calm environment. So you're thinking about the overflow of emotion, but you are transcribing it in a logical, sound mind, processing it, if you will.
Yeah, that's, I remember that quote now. I always talk about that in as having distance. And that's what I mean, emotional distance.
Emotional distance, yeah.
So I think we've had a good discussion today.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's close out with saying thank you all for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It helps us out a lot in terms of, you know, getting the message out there. So rate, review, and subscribe. And thanks for everything.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Ask Your Editor. For links or clarification on this episode, visit the show notes on askyoureditor.com. Get notified when new episodes are released by visiting askyoureditor.com/subscribe. And be sure to like our page at facebook.com/askyoureditor.